Chapter 13. The Victory. This chapter is based on Matthew 4, verse 5 to 11, Mark 1, verse 12, 13, Luke 4, verse 5 to 13. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Satan still appeared as an angel of light, and he made it evident that he was acquainted with the Scriptures. As Jesus used the word to sustain his faith, the tempter now used it to countenance his deception. Satan urged the Savior to give still another evidence of his faith. But again the temptation was prefaced with the insinuation of distrust. If thou be the Son of God. Christ was tempted to answer the if, but he refrained from the slightest acceptance of the doubt. The tempter thought to take advantage of Christ's humanity and urge him to presumption. But while Satan can solicit, he cannot compel to sin. He said, Cast thyself down. Knowing that he could not cast him down, nor could Satan force Jesus to cast himself down. Unless Christ should consent to temptation, he could not be overcome. The tempter can never compel us to do evil. The will must consent. Faith must let go its hold on Christ before Satan can exercise his power on us. But every sinful desire we cherish is an open door by which he can enter to tempt and destroy us. And every failure on our part gives occasion for him to reproach Christ. When Satan quoted the promise, He shall give his angels charge over thee, he omitted the words, To keep thee in all thy ways, that is, in all the ways of God's choosing. Jesus refused to go outside the path of obedience. He would not force providence to come to his rescue, and thus fail of giving man an example of trust and submission. Jesus declared to Satan, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. God had already testified that Jesus was his Son. Now to ask for proof would be putting God's word to the test, tempting him. We should not present our petitions to God to prove whether he will fulfill his word, but because he will fulfill it. Not to prove that he loves us, but because he loves us. See Hebrews 11, verse 6. Presumption is Satan's counterfeit of faith. Faith claims God's promises and brings forth fruit in obedience. Presumption also claims the promises, but uses them to excuse transgression. Faith would have led our first parents to trust the love of God and obey his commands. Presumption led them to transgress his law, believing that his great love would save them from the consequence of their sin. It is not faith that claims the favor of heaven without complying with the conditions on which mercy is to be granted. Venturing on Satan's ground. If Satan can cause us to place ourselves unnecessarily in the way of temptation, he knows that victory is his. God will preserve all who walk in the path of obedience, but to depart from it is to venture on Satan's ground. The Savior has bidden us, Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. Mark 14, verse 38. Often when placed in a trying situation, we doubt that the Spirit of God has led us. But it was the Spirit's leading that brought Jesus into the wilderness. When God brings us into trial, he has a purpose to accomplish for our good. Jesus did not presume on God's promises by going unbidden into temptation. Neither did he give up to despondency when temptation came upon him. Nor should we. See 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, Psalm 50, verse 14 and 15. Jesus was victor in the second temptation, and now, Satan manifested himself in his true character, as a mighty angel, though fallen. He avowed himself the leader of rebellion and the God of this world. Placing Jesus on a high mountain, he caused the kingdoms of the world to pass in panoramic view before him. The sunlight lay on templed cities, marble palaces, fertile fields, and fruit-laden vineyards. The traces of evil were hidden. The eyes of Jesus gazed on a scene of unsurpassed loveliness and prosperity. Then the tempter's voice was heard. "All this will I give thee. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine." Before Christ was a life of sorrow, hardship, and conflict, and an ignominious death. Christ might deliver himself from the dreadful future by acknowledging the supremacy of Satan. But to do this would be to yield the victory in the great controversy. Should Satan prevail now, it would be the triumph of rebellion. Christ could not be bought.
When the tempter offered to Christ the kingdom and glory of the world, he was proposing that Christ hold dominion subject to Satan. This was the same dominion on which the hopes of the Jews were set. They desired the kingdom of this world. But Christ declared to the tempter, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." Christ would not be bought. He had come to establish a kingdom of righteousness, and he would not abandon his purpose. With the same temptation, Satan approaches men, and here he has better success than with Christ. He offers them the kingdom of this world on condition that they will sacrifice integrity, disregard conscience, indulge selfishness, and acknowledge his supremacy. Satan says, "Whatever may be true in regard to life eternal, to make a success in this world, you must serve me. I can give you riches, pleasures, honor, and happiness. Do not be carried away with notions of honesty or self-sacrifice." Thus, multitudes consent to live for self, and Satan is satisfied. But he offers that which is not his to bestow, and which is soon to be wrested from him. In return, he beguiles them of their title to the inheritance of the sons of God. Satan remains a defeated foe. In his summary dismissal, Satan had proof that Jesus was the Son of God. Divinity flashed through suffering humanity. Writhing with humiliation and rage, Satan was forced to withdraw from the presence of the world's Redeemer. Christ's victory was as complete as had been the failure of Adam. So we may resist temptation and force Satan to depart from us. Jesus gained the victory through submission and faith in God, and by the Apostle, he says to us, "Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you." James 4, verse 7, 8. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. Proverbs 18, verse 10. Satan trembles before the weakest soul who finds refuge in that mighty name. After the foe had departed, Jesus fell exhausted, with the pallor of death on his face. Angels had watched their loved commander as he had endured the test greater than we shall ever be called to endure. They now ministered to the Son of God as he lay like one dying. He was strengthened with food, comforted with the assurance that all heaven triumphed in his victory. Warming to life again, his great heart went out in sympathy for man, and he went forth to complete the work he had begun, to rest not until the foe was vanquished and our fallen race redeemed. Never can the cost of redemption be realized until the redeemed stand with the Redeemer before the throne of God. Then, as the glories of the eternal home burst upon our enraptured senses, we shall remember that Jesus left all this for us, that for us he took the risk of failure and eternal loss. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Revelation 5, verse 12.